welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Tom Doyle, CEO of Aspinity. Welcome to our podcast, Tom.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So the first question we ask is, what brought you to semiconductors, just to get a little history?
Yeah, so I've been in this kind of technology area for over 30 years. I think we're up to about 37 years now. But almost all of my time has been spent in California. I was initially focused in the defense industry, so RF, radar, satellites. But then I moved into a project that was focused around signal and data processing in semiconductors. It was for a fighter jet type project. And that kind of kicked me into semiconductors and got my focus and interest there. From there, this was kind of in the mid to late 90s. And then I moved to Cadence to kind of continue that, right? Thinking about semiconductors, IP, EDA. And I had a couple stints with Cadence, and in between there was involved and started in a startup. That was in the early 2000s. But most of my time has been spent in and around Silicon Valley, right, in California. But it was at my time at Cadence that I was introduced to Dr. David Graham at West Virginia University. So that's my alma mater. And they were doing some really interesting R&D type work on analog signal processing. Actually, David brought this from his days as his PhD at Georgia Tech. We connected at that point, and with my background, there was some recognition of, where this market was going from a broader IoT. And so, with that, we started developing the technology and growing Aspinity since then. And that's where we are today.
Interesting. So can you tell us a little bit more about Aspinity? Give us the backstory and talk about, the unique technology and the approach you guys have taken.
Yeah, so Aspinity was founded with this idea of bringing really a new kind of signal processing chip solution to the market. I mean, we like to call it analog machine learning or analog ML. And it really does that. So it allows the users to actually move their ML workload from digital to analog. I mean, most everybody today is doing their machine learning in digital. And there's really, multiple reasons to do this, but the primary reason is efficiency. And it's efficiency in power, but also in data, right? So people don't realize kind of, what's happening, with the challenges of energy consumption as we, and again, it's an amazing growth in the number of sensing devices that we see going on. So we're talking, we're going to have 40 to 45 billion devices in the next few years, right, that are connected devices that are doing sensor processing. So this dramatic growth in these always sensor devices really, drive the need for edge processing to help balance, right? We're not going to send all of this sensor data to the cloud, right? We want to actually look at it earlier, but we have to balance that with the energy to gather insights from that data. So kind of think of it as the sooner I can look at that data and understand it, the better I can be from an efficiency standpoint. So, we want to be able to reduce the system power of these always-on sensing devices. And the main reason, we need longevity on battery power. So short battery life is a real turnoff to many people, right? So for consumers, it impacts their user experience. But in the industrial setting, I mean, it's a real cost issue having to deal with downtime. And if you think about biomedical kind of sensing, it could be a real life-sustaining concern. And so over the coming decades, Aspinity will be seen as really enabling a paradigm shift to analog computing in a big way that's going to drive much higher efficiency than achievable with today's systems. And that's not only going to benefit kind of the mobile battery operated device, and products, but it's also going to address, this kind of growing sustainability concern, that we have worldwide.
Well, you certainly picked a good time for it. You know, analog computing is at the forefront of semiconductors for the first time in so many years. There's a lot of analog content on SemiWiki. So can you explain where Espinity fits?
Yes. I mean, I would probably want to talk first about, you know, what is our unique technology and what's our approach, right? And kind of talked a little bit about it. But I think the number one thing that I think folks need to understand is when we talk about sensing devices, right? So wearable devices, in the home devices, you know, they're looking at data that's from the physical world. So what does that mean? It means all the sound data is physical data and it's analog data. But, you know, typically what happens today, we use digital cores to actually look at that data. There's really nothing until we've come along to actually look at that raw, unstructured analog data and do meaningful analysis. It typically has to be converted so a microprocessor, an MCU, a DSP can analyze it. So our approach is simple. We're going to perform the analysis, machine learning algorithms and models on that native analog data. And that's a huge improvement to energy efficiency for two reasons. Number one, we're inferencing, our machine learning workload is doing all this at near zero power. We're talking 10 to 20 microamps of power, always on, always processing. But the secondary piece of that is that we're actually able to turn off some of the high power components that people use, the ADC and the digital core, until we detect something of interest is happening, right? So as an example, glass break, you know, the industry is going towards easily deployable acoustic glass break sensors in the home. These are battery operated. You don't know when someone's going to break your window. And so you actually have to process 100% of the sound 100% of the time to be accurate. And doing that in a digital based solution, that means you have to convert 100% of that data. And you have to then look at the data in digital core, and you're consuming milliamps of power to do that. That's too much to last on battery. And so when we operate in that way, we are actually running an analog machine learning algorithm to detect glass break, and we can do it for under 100 microamps of system power. And that's kind of the real, you know, we call our technology RAM, our Espinity RAM technology is really the game changer to kind of shift this paradigm from digital to analog, right? So we do this in our ability, our technology, our RAM technology is based on this ability to kind of configure, build, synthesize linear and nonlinear analog circuits to accomplish everything from sensor interfacing to feature extraction and classification with the neural network to all the things necessary to actually make a decision or inference on that raw, unstructured analog data. And we keep the digital stages off before, you know, so we can save power and no data is sent to the subsequent stages. And so, you know, there's a number of underlying innovations that are part of that, but the key one for us is our ability and our proprietary analog memory technology. And the reason I'm talking about that is we're gonna talk about analog computing, but you know, we use that to efficiently store information needed to do things like parameterizing, you know, what's my center frequency of my filter, to biasing, to storing weights for our analog neural network, but also values to deal with variability. So the end result is a analog machine learning chip, very similar in function, capability, and actually ease of use to a digital core with all the value brought about by analog computing. So now you asked about the analog computing, right? There's definitely a lot of focus and talking about analog, and for very good reason, right? So analog has historically been seen as providing some of the best efficiency as well as accuracy, you know, when it comes to some of this sensor interfacing and sensor computing. Many use analog in a lot of their marketing and activities and whatnot, but it seemed to do very little in their implementation. And I think that's kind of the dividing line. I think when most people talk about analog computing, they're talking about using analog computations within a memory framework, right? This is called in-memory computing. So it's a digital paradigm. So it's still within that digital chip, but the implementation, you know, is actually running a couple of functions, right? So typically a multiply accumulate in memory in order to save power and do computation. So the idea is I have a digital core, I'm going to read and write to memory, which is a very normal function, but also very power, you know, power consuming function. And so if I can do more computations in memory, I'm going to do that. But it doesn't really remove kind of what we talked about, where, you know, we're looking at analog data in its natural form. This is just converting data and doing computations. So Spinity's chip is completely analog, right? Circuitry for signal processing, and really provides that ability to create any number of machine learning algorithms to perform, you know, much of what a digital signal processor can do, albeit at much improved system efficiency. So if you want to think of it, you know, versus the in-memory computing where that's inside of a digital chip, the Spinity chip is a new socket sitting between the analog sensor and the digital core, you know, and responsible for determining kind of the critical next steps for the system, right? So we'll wake the ADC in the digital core as needed and not until it's needed. And this is really kind of driving a major paradigm shift, you know, that, you know, as we look forward over the next couple of decades for, you know, for this type of sensor computing, edge sensor computing.
Great explanation. The variability part, let's talk about that in a little more detail. You know, analog is considered hard and challenging from a variability standpoint. Analog is on, you know, leading edge nodes now. How do you address that?
Yeah, so, and you're absolutely right. It's a great question. I mean, this is something that we've, you know, as a team and many of our team members are experienced in analog. And analog, you know, there's a couple different aspects to kind of think about. Analog is hard, right? I would say we probably lack, you know, have a lack of analog design engineers in the world, right? So, you know, what we do on that hand is we provide this value of analog, but we remove that kind of barrier that calls for you to have, be able to do analog design, you know, have experience doing that, have capability. So we do that with, you know, with our interface to our chip, right? So it's a development environment, an SDK, that allows application development very similar, you know, very similar to the way that you do it in digital, right? So this involves exploring and building machine learning models with tools like PyTorch and TensorFlow, but we provide that interface, right, to be able to now take that model and put that onto our analog machine learning chip, right, our AML100. So that's how we kind of address this analog is hard aspect. Now, the second one is the more important one, in my opinion, right? So that's the variability. And that's something that gets talked about a lot. And I know there's a lot of folks struggling, you know, with trying to field systems to do that. So number one, we agree that there is variability. We actually embrace it. We take it into account and we deal with it. And I would say a pragmatic way, right? We deal with it when we add our algorithm to the chip, but we also deal with it in a very software-oriented way, kind of leveraging the developments that have happened in the digital world over the last number of decades. So I kind of alluded to it earlier, you know, the core to our ability to do this, deal with variability, is based on our own proprietary analog memory, you know, and how we support algorithms, right, with that memory. But we also use it to do that precision trimming that's kind of needed to address this variability, right? So it's a very software oriented. So in the end, right, our chip's able to provide that versatility that's needed, you know, to bring analog processing to bear, right? So one chip, many functions and applications that can be interfaced to many different types of sensors. So again, our approach kind of mimics that repeatability and that flexibility of the digital core, but we happen to from an underlying perspective, you know, have analog and bring all that breakthrough analog computing for the future of sensing.
Got it. So the edge space is really crowded, Tom. How do you, you know, tell me a little bit about the landscape and how do you compare and contrast with others in this market?
Not only do we, you know, in the edge space, right, we have many established semiconductor players, you know, pushing their technologies down to the edge, but we also have new startups, right? But, you know, this ranges from MCU suppliers that continually improve their products to new startups. And everybody's addressing, you know, this AI ML application space, this tiny ML space. But, you know, from an industry perspective, you know, the industry sometimes puts everybody in the same bucket, but you kind of have to look at it, you know, at what level from the edge, from the center to the cloud, are these particular, you know, chips and solutions targeting, right? There's a big difference between a processor focused on server type workloads, right, running at watts of power, right, versus a processor doing inferencing workloads in a mobile battery operated device, you know, consuming maybe a milliwatts or sub milliwatts of power or even lower, right? Those are two totally different. We focus on the second level, right? So we're working to bring efficiency to that, you know, that massively growing number of sensor devices like the glass break alarm I mentioned. And now that you look at that level, you kind of have to compare the lowest system power for doing this inferencing, if you will, right? So system power is really important because that's what drives your longevity on battery, right? It's not component power. I mean, everybody talks to their chips in this space about my chip is this power, my chip is that power. You kind of have to look at what's the always on system power that's consumed as I'm waiting for someone to break that window, right? And so when you think about it from that perspective, and we go back to some of these digital solutions, they can't operate on the analog data. They have to you know, consume power, number one, digitizing all of that data, and look at it with a digital core that's typically higher power. And so that really, especially the digitization, that really causes a system power floor that really impacts battery life, because you have to convert all the data. And we avoid that, right? As we talked about previously, analog solutions like ours enable these workloads to operate at much lower system power levels. You know, that always on system power is really low compared to an all digital system.
Interesting. So can you talk about just quickly a little bit more about some of the end markets that you're seeing, you know, traction in or that you're targeting?
Yeah, it's a good question. So, you know, I think in the future, you'll see our technology be on the front end of, you know, almost any system out there that's trying to be efficient, be it battery or plugged in or what have you. But, you know, for the short term, what we focus on are typically markets that require always on sensing, high bandwidth data, right, that, you know, that need to operate in a very efficient way. So cases in point. So think about audio and acoustics, right? So voice systems or acoustic event detections, these are systems that require, number one, you can't miss any piece of the event. You can't miss part of the glass break. You can't miss part of someone talking or a word. For accuracy reasons, you have to process 100% of that information. And it's typically 14 or 16-bit data that needs to be looked at in the digital world. So that's a lot of power. I mean, elsewhere in the preventative maintenance arena, which is another focus of ours, typically you have accelerometer that's gathering data on machines, and that is all three-axis and, you know, analog data that now needs to be digitized, again, pretty high precision, and looked at like an FFT in the digital world. And we're able to move all this stuff back into the analog domain at much lower power. So those are two of the main ones we're focused on in the short term. But we see our technology, and we've built other products and custom products for customers in, you know, we're working in vision type technologies, we're working in bio type technologies. And really, I think we're just starting to scratch the surface, you know, with acoustics and with vibration, you know, to what we're able to do with this technology.
That's great. You know, I was looking at your website and I saw your list of investors, very impressive list, including Amazon, of course. So what's next for Aspinity, and how can engineers start working with analog ML?
Yeah, and we do appreciate our investors, right? They're great, and they, you know, they help us move things forward in many different ways. But I mean, what's next for Aspinity? So number one, we just recently announced this, you know, the launch of our AML 100. So, you know, that was a big launch. It's actually the first analog machine learning core, right, to come to market, right, to do what we do. And so, you know, as a result, you know, you can do many different things with it. So, you know, we're working with customers now. We're sampling parts. They're designing it into their systems. We provide evaluation kits to test, you know, some of our existing solutions, voice and glass break. Others, we, you know, we build custom for customers. And so we, you know, we're continuing to, you know, roll out our technology, work with customers. We'll be in production with our AML 100 by the end of the year, and you'll see us in products as well. But in addition to that, we're also, you know, preparing our development environment because we want to really open the door for, you know, customers and application developers, you know, and sensor developers to be able to take advantage of this technology. And so, you know, you'll see us in, you know, start to roll out our development environment so that people can design their own, you know, their own models that run on our chips at very efficient power levels. And so really, I mean, the future for us is just opening up the world to this new way, this new paradigm shift, and, you know, kind of moving to analog machine learning. And that's kind of what we're focused on. And we're, you know, this year's going to be a big year for us.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exciting. Well, thank you, Tom, for your time. And thank you everyone for listening in to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast today, and have a great day.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, Dan.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.